In the conflict and turmoil of the world, we gather together to create hope. In the busyness of our lives, we seek a place of peace. In times of doubt and sadness, we look for a way to joy. In the face of life's struggles, we are called to practice love. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our email newsletter, and get all sorts of information about life here and in the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school after the Word for All Ages. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We are on the brink of Christmas, so a few announcements about special programs coming up. First, we are planning our New Year's brunch worship next Sunday, December 29th. This is a wonderful tradition. We have worship in the vestry at 10:30, and partway through worship, a brunch breaks out. Help is still needed, especially the day of, and for some food, and folks can see Heather. Will you just raise your Heather? Raise your Heather if you'd like to help out. Folks online, you will be able to enjoy a classic FCCN New Year's service streamed via Pegasus. But before that, this Tuesday, of course, at 7 o'clock, Christmas Eve, so candlelight and music here in the sanctuary. And even before that, we have coffee and conversation following worship today for those who are on site. Oh, I just should say about Christmas Eve worship, it's also streamed online. Today, coffee and conversation is not streamed online, but at home, you can go get yourself a cup of coffee. I just want to tell everybody today, avoid me. I started with a little cold, and then I was exposed to who knows what on Friday. My youngest child, Lincoln, is completely fine, but we spent Friday in the emergency room for his second bout of kidney stones. I know everybody goes, aww, yeah, but he's completely fine. But that place was a petri dish, and I just do not know what I could be carrying on me right now, so we're just going to avoid me today. We gather in the season of Advent. In the Christian tradition, this is the start of a new year, a moment of beginning. At a moment of beginning, it can be helpful to set an intention. What do you hope to bring to life in this time? Maybe the intention is to lean into love, knowing it will change you in unexpected ways. I invite you to set an intention for the hour ahead. As you listen to the sound of the bowl fade away, I invite you to breathe deeply, soaking in God's love.
Good morning. I'm Bill. Please join me in the call to worship. Your responses are in the bulletin and on the screen. We are waiting for hope to be real. We are waiting for peace and justice. We are waiting for all people to know joy. We are waiting for love without end. We are waiting, God. We are waiting for you. Our opening hymn is number 114, O Come, Emmanuel. The words are in your bulletin, and on the screen, you are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Please be seated. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the time of remembering that God comes to us in amazing ways, including through the birth of a tiny, helpless child. With this Advent wreath, we prepare for God to come once again. The round shape of the wreath reminds us of the unbroken love of God. The green branches speak of new life found in relationship with God. And the candles proclaim the light that God brings into our lives. This morning, we light the fourth candle in our Advent wreath. This is the candle of love. Do you feel like love is a fantasy or an impossible dream? Have you forgotten how to love yourself? Are you discouraged at others' inability to love each other? Maybe we're looking for love in all the wrong places. In Advent, God dramatically reveals God's love for us. God came to dwell with us in the person of Jesus that we might feel understood and supported by God in all of life. God came to dwell with us in the person of Jesus that we might learn the best ways to live. And like a parent, God taught us how to love by first loving us. As we light the candle of love and relight the candles of hope, peace, and joy, the flickering of the flame reminds us that we must love God, each other, and ourselves in order to keep God's light shining in this world. As we light the Advent wreath, let us join in the verse of Hope is a Star in your bulletins and on the screen.
The Persian poet Rumi wrote, "Love is the whole thing. We are only pieces. We are pieces of the whole, pieces of love, and together we create a force that can change the world. This morning, let us greet each other in person and at home, even those we do not know, and see the connections between us. How we are bound together by love. Then we'll end with our song of celebration. God's peace be with you." Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. A few weeks ago, we read the story of the angel visiting Mary and telling her she would bear a son named Jesus, who would be called the Son of God. The angel also told Mary that her cousin, Elizabeth, who was far beyond childbearing age, was also miraculously pregnant. Then Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and the child in Elizabeth's womb, who will be John the Baptist, leaps at Mary's greeting, and Elizabeth repeats the angel's promise that Mary's child will be holy. Young Mary then gives a radical speech echoing the themes of ancient prophets. Hear her holy words. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped her servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So the scripture passage that Mr. Bill just read starts with young Mary saying, my soul magnifies God. Magnifies. Now that means to make something bigger, right? Amen? We use a magnifying glass to make words bigger so that we can read them better. Or if I wanted to look at something in nature up close, like a leaf or a snowflake, a magnifying glass would make something easier to see. Have any of you over there, have you ever played with a magnifying glass? We may need to add some magnifying glasses to the playground over there so we can all like look closely at things over there and see how a magnifying glass makes things bigger. But Mary said she can do that with God. She can make God bigger, easier for God to see. Now, Mary had some pretty special stuff going on in her life, but I don't think she is the only one who can make God bigger and easier to see. All of us are like magnifying glasses out in the world. The things we focus on get bigger and bigger. The things we draw attention to are easier for people to see. So we can magnify God. We can focus on God's presence, God's love, God's vision for the world, and make all of that bigger and easier to see. Of course, we can magnify other things too, like fear or greed or anger. That makes us very powerful magnifying glasses. So this week, I found out there's a magnifier on my phone. Did you all know that already? Okay, so half the people are with me. The other half are like, what is wrong with you? How did you not know that already? So I was wondering what I would see if I looked at you through a magnifier. Let's try it. Some people in that section don't want me to. Wow! Now I'm going to be able to keep close track of you. And people at home. I can see you. Wow. Oh my gosh. I can see all of your care and your love
and your strength. I can see God shining forth from every bit of you. I can see how all of you are magnifying God already. Good job. Maybe we definitely need magnifying glasses in all the pews, too, so we can all see God bigger and bigger in each other. Some people are now taking out their phones to find out where the magnifying app is. I'll show you later. Let's send you off to Sunday school with a blessing. Let us get our blessing hands together. Great magnifying God, keep showing up in our lives and in our world, and especially in these your beautiful and beloved children. Amen. Amen. Have a great day in Sunday school. Our second reading this morning is called, My Soul is Alive with Thoughts of God. This is by Reverend M. Barclay. This is an interpretation of Mary's speech in the Gospel of Luke, and M. uses gender-neutral pronouns for God. My soul is alive with thoughts of God. What a wonder. They're liberating works. Though the world has been harsh to me, God has shown me kindness, seen my worth, and called me to courage. Surely those who come after me will call me blessed. Even when my heart weighs heavy with grief, still so does hope abide with me. Holy is the one who makes it so. From generation to generation, love's mercy is freely handed out. None are beyond the borders of God's transforming compassion. The power of God is revealed among those who labor for justice. They humble the arrogant. They turn unjust thrones into dust. Their wisdom is revealed in the lives and truths of those on the margins. God is a feast for the hungry. God is the great redistributor of wealth and resources. God is the ceasing of excessive and destructive production that all the earth might rest. Through exiles and enslavement, famines and wars, hurricanes and gun violence, God is a companion in loss, a deliverer from evil, a lover whose touch restores. This is the promise they made to my ancestors, to me, to all the creatures and creations now and yet coming. And in this promise, I find my strength. Come, great healer, and be with us. Amen. She was not the first one they asked, you know. The angels had several candidates they considered superior for the role of Jesus' mother. There was Priscilla, the quiet girl two villages over, who seemed to have been born knowing how to cook and clean and sew to perfection. And Esther, who lived right nearby, had her faith just radiated out of her, and she spent hours and hours on her knees in prayer. Not to mention Naomi, who was always seen in the village streets, sharing her food with beggars and visiting with the poor, lonely widows. These girls, and a few others, were held up as examples of piety and purity and perfection. They were the ones the angels went to first. They all said no. Some whispered their answers, some cried, some screamed, but it was always the same. No, 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 no. No, I can't deal with that responsibility. No, I am not worthy of that role. No, I couldn't handle the pressure. No, please find another way for me to serve. Polite ways of saying what they really felt. Me, an unwed mother? No way. Have everyone think I've broken the religious laws? No, thank you. Deal with the looks and the whispers and the shame? Absolutely not. Is an angel gonna follow me around explaining to everybody that this is God's baby? No? Then no. So the angels kept working their way down the list. Finally, they got to Mary. She'd made the list almost as an afterthought. When the angels discussed her, it was a precursor to the sound of music when the nuns shake their heads about Maria. She's always disheveled and forgetful about helping her mother. She prays a lot, but loudly, and as if she's arguing with God. It seems her favorite word is why. She always has questions and challenges and arguments. Mary? Really? But God put her on the list, and it was Gabriel's turn to do the asking. So he found her in Nazareth and went through his routine. Greetings, favored one. God is with you. Don't be afraid, but you're going to get pregnant and bear a son and name him Jesus. He'll be God's child, and he will have a world-changing life. Okay? Gabriel then started packing up his scroll ready for Mary's no, when instead she said, "Here am I. Let it be so." The angels were stunned. Mary said yes. Of all people, Mary. Christian tradition has turned Mary into a very demure character. Sorry, I just heard that. It didn't sound the same when I was typing it, but go type demure and TikTok into your search engine. All right, anyway, but Christian tradition has turned Mary into not that kind of a demure character. She sits so still, right, with a scarf over her head, and what color is the scarf? It's always blue. She's the quiet, obedient, passive vessel. But that doesn't really align with this morning's scripture reading, with the words the gospel writer Luke puts in her mouth. Remember that our Christmas pageant version of Jesus' birth is a mashup of the gospels according to Matthew and Luke. Jesus is already an adult at the beginning of the other two gospels, and Mary's speech is only found in Luke. So this only shows up in one version of Jesus' life. My guess is, after Luke's angels heard that speech, they knew the right teenage girl had said yes to being Jesus' mother. Jesus, after all, was going to be a wine-drinking, prostitute-befriending, temple-table-turning, outcast-gathering, truth-telling radical. Where would he learn his revolutionary ways if not from his mother? The one who would bring God's love to earth didn't need to be raised by people focused on following the rules and always asking, "What will the neighbor say?" Jesus needed parents who would say, "What is God calling you to do and be?" And then when Jesus answered, "Be a traveling prophet and healer who helps people see the kingdom of God in their midst, which means I'll never make any money and probably won't live beyond the age of 33, those same parents might have said, "Really? Are you sure? Could you ask again?" But then they would say to their son, "Yes, go. And here is bread and wine for the journey. Share it with your friends." In this Advent Christmas season, it is so tempting to focus on the sweet little baby, the pious young mother, his strong and silent father. But that is a pretty sanitized version of the story. The baby in the manger is going to become the man who challenges all our assumptions and faces pain and death. The end of the Christmas story is not, "And they all lived happily ever after." In fact, it's the beginning of the story about God being in our midst and calling us to live compassionate lives of justice and peace. And Mary's speech sets the tone. She is a poor, unwed mother living in an occupied territory under Roman rule. She is the lowest of the low.
and yet she sings out, "My soul is alive with thoughts of God. Surely those who come after me will call me blessed." Maybe it helps to picture those words shouted in 2024 by a young transgender girl fighting to get the medical care she needs. Mary is a prophet, proclaiming that God has turned everything upside down, starting with her. And now the hungry are filled with good things, and the rich are sent away empty. The proud have had their bubbles burst, the bottom of the barrel's on the top of the heap. Of course, there's only one problem. More than 2,000 years later, the rich increase their wealth on the backs of workers who use the food pantry to try to make ends meet. The powerful will say whatever it takes to hold on to that power, demonizing whoever is most convenient. And those at the margins are tempted to give up as they lose hope that things will ever change. Mary's speech sounded like peace and justice had been accomplished, and yet thousands of years later, we have such a long way to go. In the last few weeks, I've been attending local, state, and national meetings where we're trying to figure out how we will need to respond to changes in immigration in the next presidential administration. There's so much we don't know, of course. But based on previous experience, we do know that we can't wait to prepare. We're sharing Know Your Rights materials to give people the info they will need when the knock comes on their door at night. We're reminding people to carry their paperwork with them at all times because some immigration and customs enforcement folks will come to work or school or church. We're trying to give people some emotional support as they face the possibility that the status that gives them permission to live in the U.S. today will most likely disappear on January 20th. We're trying to counter some of the straight-out wrong and hateful rhetoric cropping up everywhere, including in the social media and public meetings of NADIC. And one of the things we're doing is wrestling with the fear felt not just by migrants, but those of us who work with them. Meetings aren't being advertised online or recorded for fear of the participants becoming targets. There's anxiety about religious communities losing nonprofit status if we do anything to help refugees and asylum seekers. I am aware that just bringing this up in worship in this mildest way can set me up for harassment. Mary was a prophet, but we're still waiting for her vision to come to reality. Maybe that's because God isn't done being born. According to Christian tradition, the child with which Mary was pregnant was in some way God. In the Orthodox tradition, the title for Mary is Theotokos, Greek for God-bearer. Mary carried God within her, gave birth in some sense to God. So she is the God-bearer. But in some sense, the rest of us are Theotokos God-bearers too. Each of us carries with us a bit of that divine light, a piece of God's presence. And maybe, just maybe, enough of that divine presence hasn't yet come to be in the world. All these years later, Mary's radical speech is a pretty big challenge to us. She said, "I said yes to the God within me. How about you? Will you listen to the God voice within you? Will you take a path that is unfamiliar and even dangerous? Will you risk and rejoice in the risking?" We all carry God with us. Will we keep that presence carefully contained, or let it burst out from us like Mary's song? Each time we speak up for justice, each time we act with compassion, each time we give so others can have more, each time we let go of regret and grudges, each time a little bit more of God is born into the world. Maybe things aren't going to shift for another 2,000 years, or maybe the day is tomorrow. It might be the bit of God that is within you that will tilt the scales, and Mary's wild, wonderful, radical speech will come true.
Like I said, in this Advent Christmas season, we're invited to focus on the sweet baby in the hay. But God is not born in the little manger in your creche scene, my friends. God is born in us, in our hearts, in our very beings, in our lives, in all that we do and say. If God is not born in us, then God is not born anywhere. The angels are coming again with their list. At each of us, they stop and promise us God is with you. And then they ask, will you bear God in the world? And the whole world waits for your answer. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud. All are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Linda. Beat that. But thank you. I'm glad to be here. Doug. Doug is lifting up the joy of the snow brigade, and the cute little snowfall that's out there, and hopefully everybody's eyes were just glowing. Did you get that, Bill?
Yeah.
Other joys this morning. Good morning. Oh! Folks online, we have in our midst a couple that got engaged yesterday. Congratulations. We are so happy for you. Who asked who? Good job. Good job. We celebrate with you and the covenant that you are making together. Congratulations. Other joys this morning. Gail, do you have any joys up there?
Well, it's Sarah Lynn's birthday
today. It is Sarah Lynn's birthday today.
So when you see her, tell her happy birthday.
Heather. Heather is lifting up the joy of next week's brunch worship and everybody who has stepped up to help, especially because it's her first time coordinating. And she thanks us for our patience, but we're just so grateful that you're organizing it. Thank you, Heather. So we were trying to decide whether or not we're going to say this today. So some of you know my oldest son, Spencer, has been applying to grad school. He currently lives in Seattle. A week ago tonight, we found out he has gotten into his first choice vet school in New Zealand. So in July, he will be moving to New Zealand for 5 years, and we are thrilled for him. Yeah, I know, it's awesome. And you all will just take good care of me for the next 5 years, yeah. Yeah, what concerns do you bring to this place today? I'm holding in my prayers the family of Michael Lawrence. Michael's the father of Nicole, who's married to Hank and June's son, Scott. His Michael's calling hours and funeral were this weekend, loss for a family so close to the holidays. We're holding them in our prayers. And there was another school shooting this past week in Wisconsin, and we hold in our prayers that community impacted by that shooting, especially at the holidays. And I don't know about you, but I read an article that said 3 people died, and I had a reaction. I was like, oh, I thought there were only 2. And then I realized I was not counting the shooter who had also died. And that was a big reminder for me to pray for all of those who lost their lives in that violence. Gail, do you have any concerns up there? Okay. Pam.
Christmas markets are... So, and we've been to many Christmas markets over the years, so just imagine someone choosing to.
Yeah. So I have to admit, I only have seen a little bit of this, but I saw, so Pam's lifting up how common and beautiful these Christmas markets are in Germany. And there was a terrible loss of life at one of them, which happens to be the city where Ulrika's parents were born. And so we're holding in our prayers everybody in Germany who is feeling this impact, and then everybody around the world that feels connected in some way. Thank you, Pam. Let us come together in prayer. God of all, we are a mixed bag of distracted and forlorn, eager and anxious. We hope that you might move through the obstacle courses we build up around our hearts, made out of questions and defenses, and douse us in good news. For at the end of the day, all we want is to know that we're not alone, that you are always near. So knock on the door. Sweet talk the guard dog we place in front of our vulnerable hearts, and come right in. Make yourself at home. Pull us close and tell us your story of unbelievable good news. We are listening with our ears, but also our hearts. Hearts as open as the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Best parts of the Advent Christmas season is the music. Amen? Amen? Familiar carols, uplifting songs, they just bring warmth to a cold time of year. We are so lucky to have beautiful instruments at FCC Natick, including the grand piano and the amazing organ, but neither would do us any good without somebody to play them. Our music director, Tom Foster, brings talent, dedication, and constant flexibility to his roles as both musician and choir director. This Advent season has felt particularly bittersweet, as we know Tom will be leaving us at the end of January. Last Sunday at the community vigil, Tom's playing created space for the broad range of emotions in the room. And on Christmas Eve, he and Daryl R. are organizing a brass quartet. Organ and brass together will make the holy night shine. We'll have a chance to celebrate Tom in the new year, but may we also feel the gift of his leadership at Christmas. All of this is made possible only by your generosity. Your pledges and financial gifts make it possible for us to have both instruments and musicians. And so as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, while hearing wonderful music, may it be with gratitude for this ministry that blesses us all. God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially the ways in which they will help us magnify you in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 137, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
please be seated. Beloved, there will be love only if we are love. There will be joy only if we practice joy. There will be peace only if we make peace. There will be hope only if we hold hope. So let the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love go forth. Amen. Thank you.